Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Today is Tuesday, April 3rd, 2018, and it is 1:36 in the afternoon. Welcome, Senator Gardner.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Welcome, Senator Machicki.
Thank you.
And welcome, Vice Chair Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm Senator Costello, and I'd also like to thank Carrie and also the LAO operator for being here today. We have two items on the agenda, and the first one is a holdover from yesterday's meeting. I'd like to invite Edra Morledge, who's staffed to Senator Meyer forward, along with Christine O'Connor with the Alaska Telecom Association. Public testimony on this bill has opened and closed, and my intention today is to move this bill out of committee. However, before we did so, I wanted to give members an opportunity to hear from Christine O'Connor to reply to some of the issues that were addressed yesterday at yesterday's meeting. And it's my understanding that you will, you know, briefly state the issue and then the reply to it, and then we'll open it up for final questions from committee members, and also address here also if there's additional questions. So welcome, Christine.
Thank you, Senator Costello. I think there were issues with the audio yesterday, so I appreciate letting me answer some questions here in person today. There were some questions raised yesterday, pretty much three broad questions. The chairman listed his two main issues of concern, the first being carrier of last resort designation. And I think the question posed was, what happens if a carrier just decides not to serve an area? With an example was cited. I think that's a great example to cite here because it demonstrates the thorough public interest process that will remain in place. It's in place today. That carrier has applied to the FCC to, following that process, to notify them what's happening with that area. I'm not going to get into details because it's separate, but it's just, that's an example of the federal process. On the state side, the RCA has sent a letter to the FCC, and one of the main authorities they cite for sending that letter is the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, which they cite as giving them authority to not only require a carrier to serve a certain area, but also to request permission to discontinue service. So without saying anything about the merits of that situation, that is the authority, the certificate authority that we have been talking about for the last several hearings. That is authority that the RCA itself is citing. So we believe that's a strong public interest authority that they have today and they will keep regardless of the outcome of our bill. The second issue that was brought up is the RCA has authority to arbitrate disputes between carriers over how they connect their networks and what the terms and rights of those agreements are. SB 205 does not change that. That statute is in place today. SB 205 doesn't exempt from it, doesn't repeal it. It will continue. So that role of the RCA continues. I appreciated Mr. Parrish noting that the budget changes we've made regarding the regulatory cost charge add a lot of fairness back into the system. As I've mentioned before, that system, because it is so dated and these statutes date back to 1990, it's gotten very distorted. And the modification we've made here with this committee substitute adds back fairness to that situation. The other kind of question that came up that I think my response was a little garbled with the audio is about the reporting. It's a very simple change just to ensure that the detail that's currently in the RCA's annual reports, I don't know if you remember the first presentation I gave, we showed you how much activity by flavor of telecom, long distance, local. That hasn't been always in the annual report, so we were just hoping that that would continue each year as activity decreased of some of these filings that the RCA commissioners have said are without value, and they've said that on the record. As those diminish, we should be able to see that reported in their annual report as they did it last year. So that was the only intent there. It was not the intent to add like a legal type billing system to the RCA. I have not been able to meet with Chairman McAlpine. I requested meetings. His schedule is very busy. I've spoken with his scheduler several times. But this bill was crafted based and fine-tuned based on public statements made by RCA commissioners over about the past 2 years, where they've expressed frustration over wasted resources that the RCA is wasting in reviewing a lot of these filings and reports that we're eliminating. So that was very high in our mind when we were crafting the original language, which of course has gone through legislative drafting. So we were deliberately trying to respond to the RCA's concerns, and also that's why you don't see AUSF in this bill. It was referenced yesterday, but AUSF is not part of this bill because it is being actively evaluated and reformed at the RCA. In fact, another round of comments is due today, and we are participating, giving them literally hundreds of pages of comments, suggestions, ideas on how that might work best. So in summary, this bill, it eliminates a lot of wasted effort on the part of both industry and the RCA, and it preserves the essential public interest oversight role that the RCA has today.
Thank you very much, Christine, and I want to tell you I appreciate that you came to Juneau and are here in person to respond to some of the concerns that were brought up yesterday. Are there any questions of committee members? Senator Machicki.
I think you heard my discussions about the rate changes that are no longer a part of the bill and my concerns if they had moved forward. Really, that was my only concern, realizing not in the bill, that they're no longer in the bill. I just think that's a longer conversation, broader conversation than we're going to complete this year. So I appreciate those amendments or revisions in the CS.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I do.
With the comment, Senator Meyer.
So thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Christine, for coming down. And for the record, you represent all of the different telephone companies in state, correct?
Through the chair, yes, Senator Meyer. All of the phone companies, except for one tiny company named Circle, very small, handful of lines, but we help them anyway.
Okay, great. And it does sound like everybody's on board, and in our discussion with the RCA yesterday, they said the new CS made improvements and was better, but I'm not sure they're quite 100% there yet. What could we do can we do, or maybe we can't, to get them 100% on board, in your opinion?
Through the chair, good question, Senator Meyer. I don't know. As I've said, we did draft the bill directly in response to their concerns stated on the public record. We leave them a lot of authority to investigate companies if they're unhappy, to protect the public interest. We leave multiple layers of annual reporting to say what we're doing, what our services, what the use of federal and state universal service funds are. I have not been able to puzzle out what other changes they would find beneficial, although it has been stated on the record at the RCA that they themselves think they need to pull out and eliminate a lot of regulation that on their end that they believe has become obsolete. So,
okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Senator Meyer.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 205, version U as uniform, from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Is there any objection to moving Senate Bill 205, version uniform, from committee? Okay, seeing none, so moved. Thank you very much, Christine and Edra, and sponsor of the bill, Senator Meyer.
Thank you.
We will take a brief at ease to sign the documents and then move on to the next item on the agenda, which is Senate Bill 76. Welcome back to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. We have in front of us Senate Bill 76, Title IV Rewrite. And with us, we have staff to Senator Michicki, Rachel Hanke. Welcome, Rachel. So the first order that we'll go through today is we'll first consider the amendments that we have before us. They've been introduced by the bill sponsor, Senator Michicki. And then following our contemplation of the amendments, we will then go and continue public testimony. We have individuals online and also here in the room. We've been asked for a quick at ease. Back to Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. And I'd like to invite staff to Senator Michicki to, her name is Rachel Hanke, to present the amendments, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rachel Hanke, staff to Senator Michicki. The First Amendment proposes removal of subsections G and H from all three of the manufacturer retail licenses. Subsections G require the manufacturers to sell not more than 20% of their total volume to public after four license renewal periods, and subsections H are grandfather positions for current manufacturer retailers.
Senator Michicki,
move it. Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I move Amendment 1.
Okay, and I'll object as we continue to hear about the amendment. So, Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment, we went about this bill as a consensus group. This amendment just has not reached consensus at this point. It's not ready for prime time. We don't. There's two things that are a problem. One is the consensus issue, and the other is that we chose not to grandfather existing licenses. We wanted a bill that recognizes the system moving forward the way it is, as opposed to grandfathering things in the past. So if you remember, 80-20 was for new folks. Existing brewers and distillers were grandfathered under it. This removes that grandfathering, and it removes 80-20. I've agreed that we can chat about a path forward in the future, but we felt that it was outside of the spirit of the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Michicki. Is there further discussion on the amendment? Or no more questions? I'll go ahead and remove my objection to Amendment 1. Is there any further objection to adopting Amendment 1? Okay. Amendment 1 passes. Rachel?
Again, for the record, Rachel Hanke, staff Senator Michicki. The Second Amendment just restructures 04-21-025 and clarifies that common carriers are not subject to board-approved alcohol server education, and does that by adding a reference to that the already existing Section E in subsection A. And this also makes a minor correction by adding that existing Section E to the penalty provision.
Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Amendment 2.
Is there any objection to Amendment 2 being adopted to Senate Bill 76, Version Tango? Okay, seeing none, Amendment 2 passes. And with that, are there any further amendments to Senate Bill 76? Thank you, Rachel. So we have been working off of Version Tango. However, I would like Senator Meyer to officially move this version as amended before the committee, and then we'll continue with public testimony.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 76, Version T, as in Tango, before the committee as the working document.
Okay. Is there any objection to adopting Version T as amended? Okay. Seeing none, thank you. The bill is before the committee. So with that, I would like to continue on with public testimony on Senate Bill 76, and we'll start first with Karen Berger from the Homer Brewing Company calling in from Homer. Karen, if you can hear us, please provide your 2 minutes of public testimony.
Yes, I can hear you. This is Karen Berger, owner of Homer Brewing Company, open since 1996. Here in Homer. Things have changed over the years. We were back in the days And I'm here to speak to Senate Bill 76, Item G. As stated, the 80-20 provision is not conducive for what today's market trends throughout the United States are. Tourists don't understand our limitations that we are under at this point. They found them very onerous. They just want to come enjoy the experience that they have at home. And when we explain to them how we are limited in seating, entertainment, volume of sales, it becomes confusing to them when our industry has done so much over the past 25, 30 years in this state to create revenue. When we were granted the opportunity to sell within our tap rooms, our retail areas, a small amount, it increased the revenue going into the state and the local tax stream. We pay sales tax in Homer, both borough and city sales tax, so we were able to add to our tax stream that way versus the free samples previous to what was allowed. And we already have more reporting than any other type alcohol industry between the federal and the state and the local reporting that we already have to do. The 80-20 would also increase responsibility on AMCO and how they would enforce and monitor this 80-20. And it was also adding to the no grandfathering that this whole bill was trying to eliminate. So if you would please consider removing the 80-20 for all of the licensees that it is mentioned in, that is what I'd like to have considered from my testimony.
Thank you, and I'm going to ask Senator Machicki to personally respond to your testimony. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Karen, for your testimony, and this is for you and for other folks that may be testifying today. We're testifying on a version of the bill after the 80-20 has been removed, as well as the common carrier sections. So if you can testify to this version of the bill, 80-20 does not exist in this bill any longer.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. I was slightly confused in the process.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Next, Don McNamara from Oceanside Farms calling or in the Homer LIO. Don, if you could provide your 2 minutes of testimony, please.
Hi, my name is Don McNamara. I'm owner of Oceanside Farms in Homer, Alaska, and I just wanted to check in with you guys. It seems like this bill is against small entrepreneurs trying to get a leg up and start a new business. The state of New York back in 2014 helped all their apple growers to get their cider license and a boost to the revenue of the state. And how come our state isn't doing that? Instead, they're trying to triple the fees for the license. You should be making it easier and not harder. And I do think that the people who have been having a winery and brewer's license in the past should be grandfathered in. Thank you for your help.
Thank you, Don, and appreciate you calling in. Next, Mark Staples with the Midnight Sun Brewing Company calling in from Anchorage. Okay, Mark, we'll come back to you in case you're still online. Next, Josh Hegna from the Girdwood Brewing Company calling in from Girdwood.
Hi, this is Josh Hegna from Girdwood Brewing Company. I was going to testify in regards to the 80-20 distribution provision, but it sounds like that is not necessary. Is that clear?
Yes, that is correct. We just amended the bill to remove that portion.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in. Next, Ben Milstein from the Kodiak Island Brewing Company.
Hello, thank you. This is Ben Milstein. I also wanted to testify about SB 76, and I appreciate that you've amended it to remove the 80-20 provision. So I'll just say that I support what Karen has said and be happy to talk to anybody later about my reasons for being against the 80-20 rule, but as it's gone, I'll leave it at that for now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, calling in from Anchorage with the King Street Brewing Company, Dana Wolukowicz.
Hi, this is Dana Wolukowicz with King Street Brewing Company. I, too, wanted to testify
in opposition of the 80-20 rule, and I do appreciate the committee's removal of that provision from this bill, and I now wholeheartedly support the bill as the 80-20 provision would have been incredibly difficult for new breweries like ourselves to get started. But now that it's gone, I very much appreciate the work that you guys have been doing. And if you need any help or support, please feel free to reach out to the industry. Appreciate all your hard work. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana. Next, calling in from Hoarfrost Distilling in Fairbanks, Toiva Lewick.
Hi, thank you very much. I just, having heard that the 80-20 part has been stricken, I'll just take a moment to say thank you very much for handling this in a very appropriate way that makes a lot of sense for the industry, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, and thank you very much for calling in. Next, Edmund Miner from the Gacona Brewing Company.
Good afternoon. This is Edmund Miner with the Gacona Brewing Company. I also had called in to testify in opposition to the 80-20. I appreciate the removal of the provision from the current bill, and as a result, I support the bill as it moves forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Doug Hogue from the Kenai River Brewing out of Soldotna.
Yes, this is Doug Hogue from Kenai River Brewing Company in Soldotna. And I also would like to say thank you very much for the hard work being done on this bill. And we appreciate that the 80-20 is now not a part of this, and we fully support the bill as it stands today. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you all for calling in. Next, we will go here in the room in Juneau, and I'd first like to invite Bert Cottle forward with the City of Wasilla. Welcome, Bert. Thank you for making the trip here. And if you could state your name and affiliation for the record and then provide your testimony.
My name is Bert Cottle, Mayor, City of Wasilla. Madam Chair, I have just a couple of comments. I believe that this is going to go forward in some fashion, but what we wanted to do is raise our concern that we hope this is not the final product. I think there's still public input to be taken, especially from local leaders and local communities. We would like to have more input into this. I understand it's taken 5 years to get to this point, but the involvement hasn't been there to this point. And I think there's still time to have more involvement into a final version. I've heard each one of the senators here today concerned and voiced their concern in past legislation about overreach from the federal government coming into state government. And without going into the details today, we would like to have more time from the local communities to make sure there's not too far of an overreach from state government into the local communities' options that they have as far as what is truly wet. We know what is dry. If the City of Wasilla was to vote dry tomorrow, we would lose 42 establishments. But at the same time, if we wanted to, what is it, actually, what's a term of wet? If we wanted to open another package store license, for example, we currently have 7. We would have to have a population base over 21,000. We're currently at 9,000. So for us to get to 21,000 would probably be a big reach. If I was to lose a beer wine license on a restaurant, I'm over the limit now. I can't bring in another restaurant to serve beer and wine. So that limits my economic development and what I want to do. And we would like to have at some point be able to explain that more local options should be given to the local communities. I mean, that's who I serve. And anyway, so I understand where we're at this point. I'm not trying to say, you know, kill the bill at this point, but please allow us to have more input. I think you'll end up with a better product at the end, and you'll have more local options. And, I mean, we are the law enforcement anyway. I mean, we are the law enforcement. The fees collected by ABC go back to the local law enforcement. We are the law enforcement for the local jurisdiction. So we're not taxing the state. So we just like to have more input.
Thank you, Mayor Cottle. It's certainly a legitimate concern and one that I share. Senator Michiki?
Yeah, I want to thank Wasilla's efforts in, they actually were involved in the process in detail. I want to thank the City of Wasilla and the City of Soldotna. Same reason we pulled this 80-20 is the same reason this bill actually increases the local ability to move some licenses around, but it did not go all the way into local option because there was no consensus. So this is not the last bill that will be written. It kind of reorganizes the system, if you will, but I think many legislators are open to having those other discussions. So I wanted to make sure that folks knew that Wasilla was an active participant. We appreciate that. And we are very interested in moving forward on those other local option issues that didn't reach consensus.
And thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, Lynn Cardin, also from the City of Wasilla. Welcome, Lynn.
Lynn Cardin, City of Wasilla. Thank you for hearing us today, and along the lines of what Mayor Caudill has said, the City of Wasilla agrees that amendments to Title IV are needed to address local option as far as alcohol licensing. Due to the complexity of the issue, this needs to be done in the future, as Senator Michicki has stated. This will require additional stakeholder groups and meetings to identify appropriate amendments to Title IV that allow municipalities more local control in determining the appropriate number of licenses that possibly could meet certain criteria, i.e. first class, home rule, policing, zoning, and code enforcement. However, one proposed change that is a carryover from the original stakeholder recommendations prior to Wasilla and Saldatna being involved that directly relates to local option. SB 76 proposes to eliminate the option for a REPL PC license, which is currently the only avenue available for municipalities to get new restaurants locating within our city limits. This amendment needs to be removed and addressed further at continuing stakeholder meetings.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Lynn or comments? Okay. Thank you, Lynn, for being here. I know my office is interested in working with you moving forward on an amendment that would address that issue for you. Thank you. So continuing here in the room, I'd like to invite Brandon Howard with Amalga Distillery, followed by Ryan Lindsay. Welcome, Brandon.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and also thank you for removing the 80-20 restriction on craft producers in the state. Real quick, in my testimony, I'd like to share some amazing numbers on the economic impact of the craft brewery industry in the state. $232 million economic impact. While that's 45th in the country, it's 6th in the country per capita. Our brewing industry is incredible. And with that 80-20 limitation, there are only four or five breweries in the state currently that could meet that standard. So the growth that we see is through our small businesses. Senator Costello, I remember watching the video with you and Nolan Clauda talking about the power of small business in this state. And it inspired me to start an economic impact study on distilleries in the state. We've just now begun it. But for every job that a distillery produces, 1.5 more jobs are added to the state economy, which is a much higher multiplier than you see in other industries. We also generate a total of about $2.8 million in labor income, counting the effects among other businesses in the economy. Every dollar of labor income, a distillery yields $2.50 in income to workers in other industries. Also impressive is that distilleries create almost $26 million in business revenues, 19.7 among distilleries themselves, and another 6.5 for other industries. And I've got the table here. So even though we are a really small industry, we are surprisingly impactful, and we're also all small businesses. So thank you all so much. This bill is much needed. We need a Title IV revision, and this streamlines so much, and getting rid of grandfathering in and further complications, I think, is very savvy. And this bill has our full support, speaking on behalf of Distillers Guild of Alaska.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming to the building and testifying.
Thank you.
Next, Ryan Lindsay with Devil's Club Brewing, and then following Ryan, we'll have Matt Barnaby with Barnaby Brewing Company. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you. Ryan Lindsay, Devil's Club Brewing Company. I will make it very short. I am just here to say I fully support the passing of this bill with the removal of the 80-20 distribution. I think that was a impossible feat for small brewers, including ourselves, to meet. And I fully support it going ahead. I think it is very much needed. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Next, Matt Barnaby.
So I'm Matt Barnaby with Barnaby Brewing. Originally, I was coming to testify on the 80-20 that, of course, has resolved itself. However, I do want to share my story, and I think my story is important as we move forward with any regulation on the industry. So my name is Matt Barnaby. Together with my wife, we operate Barnaby Brewing, located here in beautiful downtown Juneau. We are Southeast Alaska's smallest brewery. We currently employ 4 year-round staff, and we increase those numbers to 7 during the summer. On April 21st of this year, we'll be celebrating our one-year anniversary. Within our first year, we've been able to represent ourselves and the state of Alaska at a national level. Our California common beer, called McSteamy, won gold at the U.S. Open Championship in the American Amber category. Just to put that in perspective, the same competition, Alaskan Brewing got silver for their raspberry wheat. So it's a big competition. It's the second largest in the country. We also participated in the Great American Beer Fest in Denver, Colorado. That is the country's largest beer festival. We're one of only 2 Alaskan breweries that appeared at that event, which was attended by over 60,000 people. During the festival, we were able to discuss the great state of Alaska with people from around the country. We also talked with folks that visited our tap room during the summer, and also those who have upcoming trips planned to the state. I mentioned these accomplishments to demonstrate the reach that a small business located here in Juneau can have, and the positive impact that it can have on other businesses and industries. With that, this is where I get to my 80-20 talk, but with that, just take into consideration anything that would have an impact, especially on the smaller guys, because, it can have an impact on our growth. Like many small business owners, our goal was to start small and then have responsible growth. I would love to one day be able to distribute 80-20 or fall within other manufacturing requirements. But that would not be possible starting out. This is where it gets awkward because it all talks 80-20. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming to the Capitol and testifying. And congratulations on your ward. So is there anyone else here in Juneau that wishes to testify on Senate Bill 76? Is Mark Staples still online?
Yes, I'm online.
Okay, Mark, you're with the Midnight Sun Brewing Company. Go ahead and provide your testimony, please.
I'd just like to say I'm in full support of SB 76. The current Title IV has a lot of problems that make doing business in Alaska as a brewery very difficult. And SB 76 solves a lot of those problems. It was, the bill was, it's quite interesting. It was put together by the stakeholders, including law enforcement and mental health, and it solves some problems for them as well. And I believe this is a really good bill to help our businesses in the brewing industry particularly continue to thrive and even thrive more. So I'd just like to say I'm full support of the bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mark. I really appreciate it. Is there anyone else here in Juneau who wishes to testify on Senate Bill 76?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Stu Graham. I'm a member of the City Council for the City of Wasilla, and I did want to congratulate you for what seems to be a very strong consensus on the part of the brewers and the distillers, the problems that you have solved there. But I think in Wasilla and in other small towns, You know, as you've heard from, you know, Soldotna and Homer and other places, I don't think Senate Bill 76 is ready to move forward and is ready to do justice to those towns. As you may be aware, you know, the city of Wasilla is 13 square miles, has about 9,000 residents, but within, 10 miles of our city center, we have about 75,000 persons who come to Wasilla, you know, to shop because we are the commercial center of the valley. You know, we have the big box stores. And then when they come to shop, they come to dine, they come to make a day of it and go from there. And so the city of Wasilla, currently has, I think, about 41 or 42 restaurant licenses, restaurant pour licenses, where now you can come in and you can go and get a burger and get a beer. You can come in and eat some Mexican food and have a margarita. You can come in and, have a meal and have a drink with that meal. You know, the majority of the persons going to those restaurants are not coming there to have multiple drinks or would certainly not be in a position where they're going to be abusing alcohol. And one of the advantages of having a city like Wasilla is that, Wasilla, we are a first-class city. You know, we have our own police department. We have our own planning powers. The citizens voted for that level of government, that additional level of government, which is closer to them than would be the borough government or the state government. And in situations where the local citizens have elected to have that additional layer of government, I think from the state and from the city, we need to respect the right of the city to govern. And by that, we need to be able to plan our own destiny. We need to be able to decide how many liquor licenses are appropriate. We're already doing the law enforcement piece associated with that, and we need to be able to make those decisions and then forward them to the board for their consideration. And if there is a valid safety concern for not granting the license, well, then so be it, and we're certainly going to stick by the board with that. But we need the ability to grow. And liquor, just as in the distilling business, as in the craft brewing business, you know, it's all about the smaller places now. It's not about the bigger places. And the city of Wasilla needs to be able to grow, and to be able to grow, we need to have control of our own destiny when it comes to liquor. In unincorporated communities and in places where they have chosen not to have that, local law enforcement or local control of government, then they have essentially asked the state to provide that. But in cities, first class and home rule cities, that is not what the citizens have asked of their state government. And I hope that you'll respect what the citizens of those communities are asking, which is to control their own destiny. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Stu. Appreciate testifying. Is there anyone else here in Juneau who wishes to testify on Senate Bill 76? Senator Machiki, do you have any final comments?
No, I thank you. Being the ex-mayor of Soldotna for 5 years, I get it. That's not ready for prime time in this bill, but we are more than happy to continue, and I know there are other senators that will help. We can certainly reach out to the senators from the Valley as well and see what their interest in actually participating in this project might be. So I just want you to know that I hear you. But we solve a lot of problems in this bill that need to be solved, and we'll see where it goes from here. There's still a couple of committees, but my recommendation, which the city of Soldotna has heard me, of course they know me after 5 years of being their mayor more than you do, but is that I believe this should be a separate effort, and I think we should get on it immediately after this session. But that's on speaking about this bill, Madam Chair. Really appreciate the time you've put into it, as well as the other Labor and Commerce members. It has a lot of pages, even though the vast majority of it is just reorganized. And I really appreciate your efforts. So thank you.
You're welcome. So with that, I will go ahead and close public testimony for Senate Bill 76. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 76, amended version T, with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Is there any objection to moving Senate Bill 76, version Tango, from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes? Okay, seeing no objection, the bill does move. And with that, I wanted to mention to committee members, the next meeting will be Thursday at 1:30 here in the Belts Room, and we will be hearing House Bill 170. So with that, the committee is adjourned.